guys. Thanks for that. Joining us back here, Mary O'Connell, for our Running on Ice segment. And Mary, in a cruel irony, we got snowed out on Tuesday, so we couldn't do check calls. And now we get to do Running on Ice here on Friday. How you doing?
I'm good. I also got probably the same snow that you guys got on Tuesday, but sadly in the Midwest, that doesn't quite constitute a snow day. So
no.
It's, you know, we're surviving. It's just a nice snowy Friday to start us off for the weekend.
If you got the budget to get rid of the snow, go ahead and use it. Unfortunately, we don't have it. So nevertheless, so we're going to talk about automated geofencing technology. And this sounds like we're going to get into some serious technical weeds here. So first off, let's talk about what is automated geofencing technology and explain as if you would to a child, because obviously this could be very technical.
So at some point in time, people have probably come across something that is geofencing and might not have known, or, you know, they know what that is. And so for those that aren't sure, basically, if you have, you know, let's put it in the context of transportation, why not? If you have a warehouse that accepts, you know, let's just use a distribution center. If you have a distribution center, basically you can take you can use the software to draw a map or a circle around this warehouse. And anytime a truck crosses into this warehouse, it'll like kind of trigger a sensor, kind of like when you have in an action movie, when you have a secret vault with secret sensors and you step into it and then you set it off and there's like chaos. It's like that, but for trucking. And there's no threat to a vault or anything like that. So basically it's whenever a truck crosses an invisible threshold, two pieces of technology talk to each other and then they say, oh, okay, this truck has arrived. So it's kind of just another way to know when your truck has arrived and, you know, monitor detention and see how long that truck is waiting. But mostly it's used for visibility tools. So I would say that's probably at its core, that's the easiest way to, you know, explain geofencing is you cross a threshold determined by a piece of software and a piece of technology on whatever's crossing that threshold talks to that software and says, we're here.
So then what is then the difference between that and automated geofencing?
So the interesting thing is that, so there's two different types of geofencing. There's a circle. So if you take your distribution center and say, I want this circle, it's going to capture roads. It's going to capture highways. It's going to capture other things that aren't necessarily proving that it's accurate. So if you have, if you have a driver that's driving on the way to the facility, but they might be a couple blocks away, they haven't truly arrived, but it's going to show that they arrived and then left for like a minute. And then every time they like drive on a street to get to that with that circle geofence, it's going to be, you know, it's good. It's going to show incorrect arrival times and incorrect departure times, which means that someone in the back office is going to have to in turn sit there and remove those exceptions, thus negating the help and assistance that that geofence is going to offer. And then you also have the other one that literally lets you draw a map around the entire building, which is great. But if you have multiple locations in a massive network, that means one person is sitting there. Or maybe, you know, the people that we talked to today on Running on Ice, one of their clients had a team of interns all summer just drawing like maps around buildings, and they still didn't get it done. So basically, to have that level of accuracy and that level of detail, it's going to take so much time that it actually like no longer is helpful, or, you know, shows that return on investment. You're just wasting time drawing maps on things. So that way you have accurate and correct geofencing data. Well, when you introduce the automated part of it, you know, the people that we talked to today, Kestrel Insights, they have all of those things already mapped. And all you have to do is just hook up like your information to their information and it all is better. So it's one of those things where you don't have to sit there and spend basically a year or two hand drawing the boundaries on each location. You don't have to then, or if you do the circle method, you don't have to, you know, sit there and have someone whose whole job it is to manage exceptions for these geofence arrivals and departure times. And then because also it's kind of hard to tell, like if they're stuck in traffic or if, you know, they are on a break very close to the facility, it's hard to tell what's the actual arrival time and what's just, you know, they take a break or they drive through it or something like that. It gets a little complicated to mess to kind of adjust that. So there's a lot to be said for that process that comes in and just says, no, you don't have to spend 2 years hand drawing these fences around. We'll take care of it.
So then what's the obvious connection? I mean, we see obviously the great connection there is to trucking in and of itself, but is there any added benefit to cold chain?
Absolutely. So some of the biggest things about cold chain is time. How long has that been on a road, or not necessarily on a road? But how long has it been out of a warehouse, a distribution center? How long has it been outside of the ideal conditions? And yeah, we have a reefer unit and a trailer. That's great. We love that. But you know, reefers are prone to failure, or maybe it can't necessarily get as cold as it needs to, or you know, we got a notification when the driver was 2 hours away that the reefer unit started failing. Or we have a customer who needs to know where their products are at all the times. And so if I have this geofencing, I don't have to sit there and call a carrier and say, hey, where are you? Hey, where is it? And if a customer also on the same flip side or the same line of thinking, if a shipper is sitting there going, well, it doesn't take 2 hours for my stuff to get unloaded, or because it doesn't take that long, because when you back up to a dock and those doors open, then you lose that control of this is exactly the temperature that it's set at, and this is the temperature it'll stay at. And yes, most of those distribution centers are kept at the desired temperature, but it's sometimes hard to know. So if you have that data on this is how long it takes from the time a driver checks in to the time that they're unloaded and checks out, then you can kind of adjust your warehouse preferences. And if you know that that driver's coming in with, you know, negative 30 degrees Celsius versus, you know, some heads of lettuce, it kind of lets you know what type of team needs to be there. So it helps you with your warehouse staffing. It helps get things unloaded quickly. And ultimately, it does help incredibly with that visibility component, which is absolutely crucial in the cold chain.
Absolutely, there as well. You've got the show coming up later today, as well as the newsletter. Tell how people can get a hold of that.
If you just want to keep watching FreightWaves YouTube, if after FreightWaves now, just go watch some of the older episodes. Go watch anything else that you see on the YouTube channel. Around 2 o'clock, you'll see Running on Ice come on. And then if you want the Running on Ice to come to your inbox, so you can watch it after the episode comes out at 2, just go to freightwaves.com/runningonice and subscribe to the newsletter.
Now, of course, it's obviously we have snow day here on Tuesday, but of course, you have the luxury there of also being able to work from home, which is nice that you don't have to necessarily go out in the snow there as well.
That is true. That is the one major advantage, because having gone through too many snowstorms and spending 3 hours trying to get home when it ices at the end of the workday, sure. It's miserable. I'm not going to lie. It is miserable, because it's always when the rain turns to ice and freezing rain, that's when it's always like, well, they can't treat anything on the roads because it's raining. And that's when it's going to take you 3 hours to get home.
That's going to be the case there. Mary O'Connell, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we got one more segment to come up here on the show, and we'll be back after this to wrap it up.